One of the most noticeable things last weekend, St. Patrick's weekend, was the amount of children going around who clearly were not from Irish ethnic backgrounds, because they were Asian looking or African, wearing green Irish football jerseys, wearing green wigs, shamrock scarves, all the rest of it, all completely into St. Patrick's Day and being Irish. Our next guest is the Professor of Migration and Social Policy at UCD, Brian Fanning, and he has a new book called Migration and the Making of Ireland, because there are lots of children now, haven't they, born in this country, who are the children of immigrants of recent decades.
Well, absolutely. And the thing about it is that when one looks at the people who are non-European, the Africans, the Asians, the Filipinos, they're very likely to be Irish citizens now. People from outside of Europe have taken the opportunity to naturalise, to become Irish as well as Filipino or Nigerian, whereas people from the European Union countries to date haven't bothered to naturalise in any great numbers at all.
So they retain their own citizenship for other EU
Poles, whereas basically if you look at an African person walking down the street or a Filipino, you are looking at somebody with an Irish passport, as likely or not. You know, well over 100,000 people have naturalised in the last number of years.
How well has Ireland done in integrating all of these newcomers to our society in recent decades?
We've done very well in some respects, badly in others. First of all, our politics. We're very unusual, thankfully, that we don't have a right-wing anti-migrant discourse taking place in our mainstream. And any politician, no politician of any stature at all, made any significant anti-migrant statement during austerity, whilst all around Europe, mainstream politicians did. They played that card a bit, or a lot.
That stands to this country's credit, doesn't it?
It stands immensely to our credit. It stands immensely to the quality of politics in this country, which we're used to giving out about. So that's a plus. On the negative side, racism exists in Irish society and we don't even have a national policy about it. We've done nothing about racism in this country formally. The state certainly hasn't, since they rolled up the National Consultative Committee on Racism and Interculturalism a decade ago now.
But there's limited examples of racism really taking hold in this country, aren't there?
Complicated again. I don't think it's in politics and political discourse, so it doesn't play out there. I think it plays out on the streets for some people. Certainly I've done studies of people who have experienced racist harassment, bullying and antisocial behaviour in their homes. I've interviewed many people who have been attacked, who get racist insults on a day-by-day basis, whether they're Muslim or black people. These things do happen in Irish society. Some of the things that taxi drivers and others will say, I'm not picking on taxi drivers especially, are just as outrageous as anything. I interviewed one woman who had come to work in Ireland from the UK, and she worked as a Lewis Revenue Protection Officer. And she was of Asian background. Her parents came over in the 60s, and she said the racism she experienced in Dublin reminded her of what her grandparents told her. So at some levels, there's unguarded racism. At other levels, basically, we don't bother with racist politics.
So is it something that's happening in society and that we're just not talking about?
Well, we're not talking about it. We're talking about it now. The government and our political system doesn't talk about it. It hasn't become a national issue. NGOs are trying to raise the issue from time to time. Reports come out giving examples of the kinds of things I'm talking about. But they haven't clawed their way up the political agenda in any meaningful way.
Okay, what about the position with asylum seekers? Because that seems to be something that politics has failed to deal with properly.
The McMahon report basically looked at a direct provision system and it found many flaws. The Supreme Court last year had a ruling that refusing people permanently the right to work was contrary to their rights. The Department of Justice introduced an interim measure whereby people, if they could get a job with over 30,000 per annum, could come off direct provision and begin to work. However, we're a month into that scheme, and today there's a number of reports out saying that not one person yet has applied for work on that provision. So it's a very Kafkaesque kind of system, and it doesn't necessarily facilitate people moving into employment. So I think we're very mean, especially to refugees and asylum seekers. And whilst we get an awful lot of positive articles in the newspapers about the experience of asylum seekers and so on, it doesn't really translate into action by the government. It doesn't translate into more humane approaches.
Yeah. Is there an attitudinal problem as well in that it's sort of an assumption is made that people who come to live in the country are here to take welfare benefits and so-called free things, whereas actually they're here, they want to work and they want to contribute?
It's like this. If you put people in a certain box and call them asylum seekers, they'll get treated one way or thought about one way. If you just consider them as migrant workers, nobody will bat an eyelid a lot of the time. We've taken in very large numbers of people from countries such as Poland without necessarily getting worked up about it. So we had a referendum on citizenship way back in 2004. That was all about asylum seekers possibly having Irish-born babies, possibly becoming Irish citizens that way. But nobody in particular minded that, you know, a very large number of Poles were going to come over and live and work permanently. So we're exercised by some, not necessarily by others. And it's just one of those kind of ways which people think. If you put people into a certain box, If you put people into the asylum seeker box, you presume they're a burden. If you put people into the worker box, well, you presume they're making a contribution.
But if the overall sentiment towards migrants, immigrants to the country are largely positive, is that because maybe perhaps deep within us we realise we have been treated by and large pretty well in other countries around the world, given our opportunity to travel and make new lives?
One of the themes of the book, and the book covers migration in both directions from 1600 to the present day, and whilst we're used to thinking of emigration as a kind of a sorrow, and indeed it has been for some people, you know, Irish people have broadly speaking gone to places where they could get access to citizenship pretty easily, where they could speak the language pretty easily, where they could work pretty easily. So that experience, you know, has not been as fortunate for some people who have come to Ireland. I mean, so there is a sort of an imbalance there, certainly.
I have to leave it there. I'm out of time. Brian Fanning, author of Migration and the Making of Ireland. It's a fascinating book. There's some extraordinary stories in there. Thank you very much for joining us
for having me on
the programme. We'll be back with the 6 to 6 after this.